Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. Before we kick off this week's episode, just a quick ask. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell to make sure that you never miss an episode, never miss out on any of the strategies and tactics that we're sharing to help you continue charting your own path to freedom. And if you'd like to go deeper with any of this, we've launched a free Facebook group, which you can join at pathtofreedom.com/group. And we've linked that in the show notes to make it easy for you to find. All right. Thank you again for being here. Let's drop in to the episode. Hey, what's up, everyone? And welcome back to the Path to Freedom podcast. Today, I'm joined by Courtney Yeager. And Courtney is the founder and CEO of The Tox, which is what I find a very intriguing new franchise concept in kind of the health and wellness category, recovery category. Courtney will describe it more eloquently than I just did, but it's an interesting concept for sure. A lot of things around the business model that a lot of the types of people that I work with look for in a business, but she's kind of creating a new category within the health and wellness space. So excited to dive in and learn more about the talks today. Courtney, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. I've been looking forward to it. So what is the talks? Give us kind of the lowdown on what the talks is.
Sure. So the Tox is a lymphatic-based body sculpting technique. So we work with your lymphatic and digestive system to rid your body of any toxins, excess water retention. It helps with bloating. It boosts your immune system, but it also makes you slimmer in one 60-minute session.
And so, I hear that and I'm immediately a little skeptical. I'm saying when I heard this 6 months or so ago when I first got introduced to your concept, and I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes. Go to their website, find them on Instagram or social media. Like, some of the before and after pictures will blow your mind of people walking in for one of these sessions and walking out and just looking thinner, right? It's pretty insane, some of the before and after pictures. So lymphatic, digestive, what does a session look like? What's happening to me if I'm coming in to have my lymphatic system drained? Because it sounds a little like, I don't know that I want to have anyone touch my lymphatic anything.
Sure. So it's a full body method. It will feel very similar to a massage, but it's not a massage. We are not working any of your muscle groups, but you are laying on a massage table. It is a manual technique. So, it feels really nice, but every stroke that we perform within this technique has an intention behind it. So it's a body sculpting technique, but then we're also activating your lymph nodes and pushing all of the fluid towards them, which in turn helps boost your immune system, gets rid of any toxins. There's a lot of abdominal work that goes into this technique as well. So it's really great for, constipation, digestion regulation, all of those good things. So the Tox really is, that look good, feel good service. And like you said, we are really creating our own category within the wellness space.
Yeah. So in a lot of ways, similar to a massage in terms of the experience that a client goes through there in a private room on a table with what do you call your specialist?
Technicians.
Okay. So with one of your technicians, and so this is not, it's not uncomfortable or painful. Cause when I think about someone, massaging toxins out of my lymphatic system, it doesn't sound like it would be relaxing. Like, my mind kind of goes to that's at the very least going to be uncomfortable, but potentially painful. We'll get right back to the episode in just a minute, but if you've been considering business ownership, if you're already a business owner looking to expand and you're curious about franchising, I'd love to connect with you, answer any initial questions that you have, talk about a specific franchise, and detail the exact process that I use and have taken hundreds of people through to help them understand franchise ownership, find the right franchise for them, and conduct the necessary due diligence. Click the link in the show notes if you'd like to schedule a free, no obligation strategy call. I look forward to talking with you. And now back to the episode.
It feels so good. Our clients are coming out afterwards and they're like, oh my gosh, I feel so much lighter. It was so amazing. You know, we're really seeing that it does replace our clients' traditional massage, because they're not only like feeling good just in that moment, but the benefits, you know, they keep on coming. We always say for the next 72 hours, your body will continue to detox. So not only does it feel good during it, but they're also, you know, they're looking good too, which, I mean, we live in a world where aesthetics are very important.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I can imagine, you know, feeling lighter. And just going off of some of those before and after pictures, like there's no way, you know, those people didn't feel lighter and, you know, just better walking out of there. So, I mean, let's back up a little bit. Like how did, because as you've mentioned, this is kind of a new category, right? But you had to learn these techniques somewhere and then you've had to teach other people these. So like, how did you get into detoxification through the lymphatic system and the digestive system?
Sure. So I'm a mom, super overworked, always entrepreneur lifestyle. I just wasn't feeling my best. Like I've always had major digestion issues. And I started doing a lot of research. I've always lived like a really holistic, you know, lifestyle, always super into wellness. With much research, I really discovered that the lymphatic system is really understudied in the U.S. In other countries, these treatments are available at every spa on every corner. You know, lymphatic drainage in general is very common in Europe. It's very common in Brazil, Colombia. So I started to try to seek out treatments. At that time, I was living in Los Angeles. And there was a few people who did it, but never in the way that I wanted it to be. Like that Brazilian style, you know, it is a firm pressure technique. Everyone was kind of doing a variation of what I envisioned.
Okay.
So at that time, I hired a lot of mentors to really help me curate the technique the exact way that I wanted it, where you would get that aesthetic result, but also, you know, the health benefits that go along with any lymphatic work. So my husband thought that I was absolutely insane because it wasn't what I was doing in my life at that moment. And I opened our first location in 2019 in LA. I was like, let's brand this. Let's do it right away. We had every celebrity like knocking down our door, wanting to get in. Our DMs really? On Instagram were crazy. Yes. So here we are. I mean, it's been like 4.5 years later.
Celebrities that came through.
Oh, I mean, I feel like there isn't one that we haven't had, to be honest.
Really? Okay. So they were in the know on this. They knew there was something to this lymphatic detoxification, which makes sense. You know, they, you know, places like LA and, you know, people of, you know, celebrity status tend to be kind of on the cutting edge of anything that's new in the wellness space. So that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I was really strategic with our openings too. Like I opened the Talks New York the week before New York Fashion Week. So we had every Victoria's Secret model in. I've been really strategic
that last
on
little
that
cut
side
before they
know about
put
it.
Their bikini on to walk down the stage, I guess you call it. Hey everyone, we'll be right back to the episode, but one quick note. You know, success doesn't happen in a vacuum. So if you'd like to learn more, you want to go deeper and interact with like-minded people, I'd love to have you join the free Path to Freedom Facebook group. You can join by going to pathtofreedom.com/group and become a part of the Path to Freedom community. All right, back to the episode. So what were you doing? You mentioned, you know, you were a mom, you were, you know, kind of feeling overworked, entrepreneurial lifestyle. Like, what were you doing before this? Like, were you involved in other businesses? Had you started other businesses that kind of gave you, you know, I guess some experience? It sounds like you were very strategic and smart with how you branded and launched the Talks. So what were you doing before that?
Sure. So I was a fitness franchisee for about 5 years. And then from there, I started a Pilates and bar sock company, which is like the sticky socks that you use for workouts. It was massively successful. I was doing private label manufacturing in the sock and clothing industry for the whole fitness franchise world. So I was really into like manufacturing and design, but I also had a lot of knowledge in how franchisees and franchisors structure their product lines. But that was a very unrewarding industry that I was in. It was just constant, like it's a grind, but I love it. I'm super creative. The design aspect of it was, you know, where I thrived. So I had a lot of insight that I feel like led me up to now be where we are. But again, always in that health, wellness, and fitness world, but just this is a totally different side of it.
Yeah, but also some experience in franchising. And understanding that dynamic, I'm sure has been helpful, because a lot of founders, you know, have great businesses, great concepts. You know, they come to the realization that franchising is the way to go, but it's brand new to them, right? Like they've had really no exposure to it. So I think any exposure, you know, the fact that you've been a franchisee, you're going to be able to kind of see, you know, through the same lens as your franchisees with the talks, which I think is a huge benefit. So those socks that I had to buy at Stretch Lab that were ridiculously overpriced, those may be you.
I probably made them. Yeah. Maybe me.
All right. Good to know. Well, it's Gene. Anyone that can figure out a way to charge that much for socks and sell a shitload of them is that's brilliant. So well done. So I want to go back. So the lymphatic system is understudied in the US, but not so much in other parts of the world. So while this is kind of creating a new category here, this is not necessarily new in other parts of the world. Did you travel around and study how other, you know, I think you said Europe and Asia, this is pretty common. Did you travel over there and learn how they perform these services?
So I did not travel overseas, but I did have people from overseas come to me.
Even better. Work smart, not hard, right?
Better. but again, it's very common there. In Europe, everybody's doing it, and they're doing it, you know, during pregnancy, right after pregnancy. I mean, the European women are getting these treatments done even in the hospital right after they're giving birth. So it's very, very mainstream. And I feel like, you know, it just wasn't here, and we really did bring it to market where now it's becoming more common.
Yeah. It's probably a topic for a totally different podcast, but why do you think the US is slower to adopt some of these more holistic type of, you know, I don't know if healthcare is the right word, but treatments? I mean, is it just the medical industry and it's so profit driven? And
that's where I was going with it. I was going to ask if you really wanted me to get into this.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, I would, yes, but it would probably dominate the rest of the time that we have, because that's something I've been kind of, you know, fascinated with for the last couple of years, too.
Sadly, I think that, you know, it's just very money driven, and there are a lot of holistic ways to live healthier. And there's just toxins in everything that we eat, breathe,
everything.
You know, we live it, everything. So definitely a more intricate topic, but I do think that, you know, these treatments have helped so many people's lives. And if we can just get it out there, you know, even more so than what we've done, we really are just making such a difference.
Yeah. Well, and I think the pendulum's moving in that way a little bit. Like there seems to be a lot more awareness kind of at the general consumer level that there are services out there that you can take advantage of to take a more proactive approach to your health and well-being. And, you know, more and more people are doing these things, right? I mean, I mentioned Stretch Lab earlier, like, you know, I mean, just 5-6 years ago, no one would have thought that someone would pay a couple hundred dollars a month to have a membership to go sit on a table and have someone stretch them out once a week, right? But that's common at this point. So I think there's more awareness and there's more people looking for these types of services. So, you know, what does this look like? Because you've got how many locations do you have open corporately?
We have 12 corporate locations.
Oh, wow. That's okay. I didn't realize you had that many. That's great. So you've got quite a few employees, you know, to run these 12 locations. You know, you had to bring in a variety of different experts and kind of, you know, put together your own technique almost, it sounds like. So I assume the people you employ across these 12 locations, the franchisees that would come in and have come in, the people they would employ are not going to have experience yet in, you know, how to deliver this treatment. So what does that learning curve look like? How difficult is it to train someone? Do you need like a massage therapist? Like what type of background do your technicians need? Because I imagine that's a question that a lot of people would have top of mind. They're like, I get it, but it's so new. How do I learn it? How do I hire people that know it or can learn it?
For sure. So primarily we hire estheticians. Every state has different regulations. So I always tell our future franchisees, of course, you have to check in with your state. We've had really, really great luck hiring estheticians. It's something new for them and they want to learn it. And myself and the talks as a company, we're so particular about the way that the technique is being performed. Without our talks technique, the talks would not be the talks. So the training process is pretty intensive. I prefer to hire technicians that are right out of esthetician school, just because they are easier for us to mold, but we will teach them everything from start to finish on the talks technique. It could take anywhere from, you know, 8 to 14 days, depending on how quickly they learn, but we will not clear them to be a technician until they are 100% like ready to go and can perform it up to our standards. So again, we've had really great luck with it. We're offering an opportunity that they don't necessarily get fresh out of school. So it's been great.
Yeah, I would imagine in some ways that helps your recruiting efforts because it is so different.
Yes.
And, you know, I've heard that, you know, recruiting good estheticians over the last several years has not been that difficult. There's, you know, no shortage of qualified people. And, you know, look, if you look at some of the places an esthetician could work, you know, and again, I'd encourage people listening, go to the website, like your locations have a very spa-like feel and vibe. And, you know, look, they're not doing bikini or Brazilian waxes, right?
Of course.
They're working at the tox, right? So like there's tears
the cool
to...
World. Yes.
You know, like if you're doing Brazilians all day, I imagine you feel like you're kind of at the bottom of the totem pole as an esthetician, right? So like, you know, that's worth thinking about the setting you would work in, the type of hours you would work, the services you're actually providing and what part of the client's body they're on. Those are things that I imagine estheticians think about and take into consideration if they're evaluating multiple job opportunities.
It's so true. I mean, the tox is like the cool girl place to work.
I honestly
have a wait list. You know, in New York, I just was looking at our Indeed account today and, you know, we had over 400 applicants. So again, wow. No shortage. They want to work for us. We've created a culture of employees that is really special in this industry. And when I'm looking at future franchisees, it's one of my priorities to make sure that they can really create that same culture that I've created in my corporate locations.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I could see it kind of being like the cool place to work, especially somewhere like New York, right? It's trendy. It's, you know, people are wanting the services, but that's a big concern for a lot of people as they evaluate businesses, right? Is, you know, how am I going to find and keep good people? So, you know, to hear that you got 400 applications for one location in New York, that's a pretty good indicator. So you mentioned training. So you were telling me before we started recording that everyone right now, everyone's training on you, right? So, you know, you're getting detoxified numerous times a day. And I was joking with you. I said, you're probably the least toxic person in the country walking around right now, which has got to feel pretty good. So, you know, from a business model standpoint, I think I mentioned earlier, you know, in a lot of ways, people could kind of think of this as similar to a massage business, right? In terms of, you know, you've got a storefront location. As I mentioned, it's got a very spa-like ambiance, right? What is a typical location look like, or, you know, from a square footage standpoint, number of rooms, because I assume this is done in an individual room.
It is. So it is and it isn't. So we do primarily look for like 1500 to 2000 square feet. Okay. We can have anywhere from 4 to 6 treatment rooms. That would be great. However, our treatment rooms are separated by floor to ceiling black velvet curtains. So it's a very minimal build out for our franchisees. It was very intentional to do that. You know, my outlook is let's not put a lot of money into these buildings that aren't ours. Instead, let's have a fast turnover time, make it still like a really intimate, sexy vibe when you walk in. But it's more of a like salon energy and vibe versus a relaxing spa, because we do separate the room by the curtains. So being so results driven, you know, clients are coming in wanting those before and after results. It's a conversational atmosphere. Walk in, you feel it. It's a super, super sexy vibe. But again, 1500.
So it's a little more high energy than like if I'm going in to get a, you know, 90-minute massage where I want the lights dimmed and the music and like I'll pay you extra to not talk to me type of vibe. It's okay, more like a salon. That's a good way to, that makes sense.
We've created our own vibe. When you walk in, the playlists are curated. It's more upbeat for sure.
Okay. All right. Very cool. Hey everyone, we'll get right back to the episode, but I wanted to quickly share a free resource with you. If you're curious about franchise ownership and want to learn more about how countless people, including myself, have leveraged franchising as a way to create more freedom for themselves and to take control of their livelihood, I've put together an ebook. It's called Franchise Wealth Creation, and it's the perfect starting point for anyone that's just curious to learn more about this whole franchise thing and how I've helped hundreds of other people navigate all the steps involved in understanding and researching franchising. So click the link in the show notes, fill out a short form. I'll send you the ebook. I think it's a great starting point if you're curious at all about learning more about franchising. All right, let's get back to the episode. Very cool. So ideally 4 to 6 beds is what you said. What does that need to look like from a technician standpoint? I assume, you know, you're not really looking for franchise owners to become technicians themselves. I imagine they can go through the training if they want to or are interested to, but that's not really what the role of the owner is designed to be in this business. So what does the staff need to look like in order for them to open? How many technicians? Are there other employees other than technicians that they need?
So I always say if we can open with 4 technicians and 2 front of the house staff members, that would be great. I would never want to overstaff in the beginning. I would say, you know, we'll start with 3 to 4 techs. I would rather have a wait list for our clients to get in to create that initial hype. And then from there, we can always hire, you know, more technicians down the line. So it's pretty minimal staffing. It depends how involved the owner is. If you know, they are present, you can just get away with the 2 front of the house team members. If the owner is not present, then it would be 1 manager and 1 front of the house team members.
Okay. And what is kind of the role of the manager? Are they selling, obviously managing the rest of the staff and I assume looking at scheduling and things like that. But what does the sell side of this look like? Is it a membership model?
As of right now, we have not done memberships. We are moving into a membership model in April. So we're super excited for that. But the manager is really responsible for client relations, just scheduling, making sure that the staff is happy. Honestly, the technicians are trained to really manage themselves. We work off of a mobile app. They see their schedule. Everything's really laid out. So I always say that there's not much of a difference between except for the title. So everybody's working super independently and just making sure that the client experience is always top notch.
Yeah. So moving to a membership model. So how would someone get started? Would they come in for like a free trial? Is there, and then like a consultation of sorts, or is it just you're running marketing and advertising, people want to come in and check it out, they pay for a session, they walk out feeling great, and they come back?
Yeah, that's how it works. We don't do consultations. They see us on social media, they see us via our marketing, and they either book online or call us to schedule their appointment. We do require all sessions to be paid upfront. So we've really, you know, bridged that gap between client cancellations, which is huge in this industry. So they are paying in full prior to coming in, but moving into the membership model, it will just be a set monthly membership fee. And then they will either have a member price or a guest price, which will be a significant difference.
Yeah. So someone would have the option for either or, right? They don't have to roll into a membership if they don't want to. But so the reason I ask, you know, for those listening, you know, with any business, the sales process can really, you know, impact what type of employees you need, how difficult is it to, you know, actually convert leads. So this is interesting to me because I think it's a less complicated, probably, you know, easier to convert sales method than if you were, you know, trying to get people in for a free consult or a free trial and then sitting them down for a consultation. And then, you know, unless you have a really dynamic salesperson, you've got that awkward, like, kind of timeshare pitch almost that, you know, turns most people off. So, you know, you're just sounds like running good marketing and advertising that's driving people to the location to check it out. I mean, this is a great business for word of mouth and social media, and you know, people are going to see it and talk about it. And, you know, it does kind of have that sexy vibe to it. So people are going to want to come check it out. So no reason to add extra steps into actually Correct. Convert them to customers. But that's a big difference if you're the owner, right? Because like I work with some great fitness concepts, but unless they get a really dynamic, usually it's the manager or the GM that's, you know, doing a lot of the sales, they can really struggle unless they get like the exact right person for that role.
I agree. And I think what really is different about the talks is nobody's doing what we're doing. So it's, you can't even compare it to fitness where you have to like get out there and sell yourself because we're first to market. Nobody's doing this. So
people clients want to try.
They want to try it. So we don't necessarily have to sell them. And we've kind of had that, you know, energy and outlook from the beginning. Like if you don't want to pay for your session up front, totally fine. Like maybe you should try somewhere else. And then they're like, oh wait, here's my credit card.
Yeah.
So that's just like the vibe.
We'll just go to the next person on our waiting list. Did you catch that? We have a waiting list actually.
Exactly.
So,
and we've been able to do it.
But for real though, you're going to make people get sticky socks once you roll out the memberships too, right?
So you know that we
are coming?
Selling sticky socks for sure in all of our studios because everybody loves them.
Yeah.
But yes, we do gift our talks branded socks and merch and all of that as they become members. You knew that was definitely a play of mine.
Yeah. Well, and look, I'm a sucker for swag. So like you know, dangle some free sticky socks in front of me, I'm probably signing up for a membership.
That's what I keep telling the staff. I'm like, our merch has to be top notch. And this is, we're going to, you know, hang it up right at the desk. This is what they get when they become members. It's going to be super.
Well, I've got at least three pairs of those socks in my truck because I go to Stretch Lab and I kept forgetting them. So I kept having to buy new pairs when I was there. And then finally, it's like, I'm just keeping them all in my truck because I never wear them unless I go to Stretch Lab. So yeah.
Love that.
Love hate thing with the sticky socks. So are most of your owners that are, you know, your franchisees that are coming in so far? I mean, to me, this seems like a multi-unit opportunity. I imagine you're primarily attracting the type of franchise candidate that, you know, is thinking bigger than just one location. What are you really looking for in your franchise owners? Like, what is your ideal franchise candidate?
Sure. So yes, we are mostly doing multi-units. I'm really looking for people that have the same passion that I have. I really think that that's what it takes, is that passion behind what we're doing, our why, our reason, you know, health, wellness, fitness, all of it. The candidates that would be looking at different fitness franchisees or franchises and stretch labs and places like that, that's who we're looking for. It doesn't need to be an owner operator. I have locations I haven't been to in a year that are madly successful with a great manager. But I do want somebody who's going to be present, get out there within their community. Again, being first to market, we are really looking for people who want to take this brand and run with it and, you know, be super influential within the community.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on, because I know you have corporate locations in LA and New York. Are they all in bigger markets or metro areas? Like, what are your thoughts on, you know, the viability of this? And I mean, like, I'm in North Carolina, right? Like, we tend to be a few clicks behind places like LA and New York when it comes to, you know, fashion and the latest in health and wellness. You know, I'm not in a huge market. Like, do you see this working almost anywhere, or does it need to be in like a bigger metro area?
I'm so happy that you asked this question, because I am excited to say that I'm opening in my small little town in Vero Beach, Florida. Okay. So I am opening a corporate location here because that's how much I really believe that it can be anywhere. It doesn't need to be a large city. My corporate locations are in New York, LA. I have Dallas, Houston, Austin, DC, Boston. You know, we are in larger cities. However, I'm so confident that it's going to do amazing in smaller towns and smaller cities. You know, if anything, I think that we even have a better opportunity because they have nothing else to do here and they're looking.
Yeah, there's not other options or as many other options. And, you know, look, a lot of times these types of concepts do better in like suburban areas than they do in like metro areas, and certainly the cost, you know, are gonna be more realistic in, you know, your smaller markets. If you've already opened these all over LA and New York and Boston and Dallas, and like those are the most expensive markets in the country, right? And so if you can run it profitably in those types of market, chances are your build out cost, your operating cost are gonna be far more reasonable in some of these smaller markets. And you may adjust your pricing a little bit, but you probably don't have to dramatically adjust it, I imagine. I mean, again, there's nothing to compare it to, right? There's no, oh, well, this other lymphatic detoxification studio is half the price. They don't have a comparison point.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be opening in this small little town and be able to show, you know, the numbers and the success, because I am so confident that it is going to absolutely kill it.
Yeah, it's intriguing for sure. I mean, what have I not asked you about that I should? I mean, I feel like I could ask you a million questions about the process itself. I know something I wanted to ask you about. Is there any science behind like the benefit? Like, is there any science backing up the benefits, or is it more just someone feels it, they feel better, they look better, they walk out of there knowing something happened and they feel better now and they want to do it again at some point?
Yeah, there's a ton of science behind lymphatic drainage in general. Of course, like our technique and the way that we do it, you know, it mixes lymphatic drainage with body sculpting. But if you look into the science behind lymphatic drainage and digestive massage, and think that that had a baby, that's the TOX technique. So okay. I feel like whenever anyone's questioning it, you know, do your research on the benefits of lymphatic drainage and then come talk to us, because, you know, it's there, it's proven, and it is such an important part of our overall health and well-being.
Yeah. This reminds me of, I won't say the brand's name, but a brand I started working with a few years ago, and very similar to the TOX. I mean, this is in the fitness space, but similar to the TOX in that it was brand new. Like, this technique was brand new to the US. It was kind of creating its own category within fitness. When I first heard about it, I was like, this is some bullshit. Like, this is something you see at midnight on CNN. They're trying to, you know, rip off old people. Because it just seemed like almost too good to be true, right? But then I started digging into it, and, you know, sure enough, part of what they use for this technique is considered a medical device. So it got jammed up in the FDA approval process, and over in Europe and Asia, they've been using, you know, these techniques for decades, and it's very well known and understood. And so then I kind of started coming around to it and getting on board, and I've placed a couple of people with that brand, and they're absolutely crushing it. Like, once people try it, they want to keep coming back. Like, it's a very effective, you know, way of strength training.
Yeah.
So this reminds me of that. And, you know, I think the key for people, like, if you're listening to this, if it kind of piqued your interest, but you're a little skeptical, just like Courtney said, do some of your own research, right? And at least keep an open enough mind to say, okay, let me assume that, you know, there really are the benefits that come with this, and do your own research. You know, you've got 12 corporate locations at this point where you can kind of validate, you know, proof of concept. You've got franchisees that will be opening, you know, here in the not too distant future. So, you know, there's plenty of ways that people can do their research and, you know, gather the information to really determine for themselves if they think it's something they want to get involved with. But where are you at as a franchise? As of now, I know you've awarded some franchises. I don't believe you have a franchise location open just yet. Is that correct?
We have one franchisee open in Scottsdale. She was our first one. She's been open for over a year. And we have 8 signed that are in they're very close to the finish line of signing their leases.
Right.
And then we have a confirmation day coming up soon with 8 more. So yeah.
That's exciting. So where do you see this thing going long term? I mean, obviously you're just getting started with franchising, but is this type of business, are there other things you can layer in, you know, that are maybe complementary, or do you envision it just really focusing on the detoxification?
I feel like that's what makes the TOX special, is specializing in one thing. You can go to any med spa, you can go, you know, here, there, and they have a menu of services, but the TOX is known and successful for specializing in the TOX technique. So I don't see us expanding our services, but I do see us expanding all over the US.
Yeah, that I have no doubt of. It's just a matter of time. And then you'll see, you know, other companies popping up that are trying to replicate what you guys are doing. So, it's exciting. I think it's a really interesting concept. And I think that, like we talked about, more and more people are just looking for ways that they can proactively take care of themselves. And it seems like you can't get on your phone on any social media. I mean, like, we have young kids, right? So, you know, we see a lot of parent related stuff, but it's like, it's so frustrating because everything has toxins in it, right? Like, I can't get online without seeing another product that we've had in our house before and someone, you know, talking about a toxic ingredient. Or what did I see the other day? This guy was using a magnet over kids' oatmeal in a plastic bag, and it was pulling metal shards out of it. I'm like, goddamn, you can't, like, unless you're literally growing all your own stuff. Like, I don't, I don't know what's okay to give my kids. So I think everyone's like hyper aware of the fact that so much of what we eat and drink is not good for us. So I think it's just going to drive more and more people to be willing to try something like what the Tox offers. And then if they feel the benefits and they can see the benefits, they're just going to keep coming back. So I think it's good timing for something like this for sure.
I agree.
All right. What else should the audience know about the Tox before I let you go about the rest of your day here?
I feel like we covered it. I would just say, you know, have an open mind, do your own research, really check out our social media. It's really how we've been able to grow our brand. It's a very important aspect to really understand and dive into it. So thank you so much for having me. Again, I want people to really understand what we do and our intention behind it. So social media is the best thing to check out to get there.
Yeah, we'll put the social media handles in the show notes and a link to the website. We'll make it easy for people to find. But Courtney, thank you so much for being here and helping us understand the Tox a little bit better. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Courtney Yeager with the Tox.